1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
The guys out there that stay home for a living, what I mean by that, are you a house husband? Because I just got to talking with Craig and Chris about this before we went on the air. I said, you know, that's not such a crazy notion, being a house husband. That whole idea is looked upon as something aberrant, but I bet you there are reasons why a lot of men fail in business isn't because they're necessarily losers. It's because they're not supposed to be in business. They're supposed to be at home taking care of a kid. I bet you there are marriages where the wife is at home and the guy is working, and it ought to be the other way around. But who ever thinks of it that way? Who would ever... Like, for instance, why do people have to live together just because they're married? Why do the kids have to live with you just because you have kids? Why can't you have them in a house out back on the property? And you hire a nanny, and they live there, and then only the good times do you see the kid. Okay, bring the kids over. I'm in the mood. All right, take them back. I'm not in the mood anymore. In other words, why can't we just build relationships in a creative way, not according to anybody's manual? I particularly like that, if you're married, why do you have to live with each other idea? What do you think? Now, of course, you say, well, that's got to be dysfunctional. If you're in love with a woman and you're married to a woman, why can't you just email her, you know? Why? And if you're asking yourself, what's wrong at Phil's house? Nothing's wrong at my house. I'm fine. I don't think I could ever do that. But I heard somebody say once, it might have been Hugh Hefner. I think it was either my third grade teacher or Hugh Hefner. Why can't we be creative in our relationships? And so, that being on my mind, the easiest way to start is to, pardon me, I belched. I potted down when I belched, but I just had a salad from Whole Foods, and well, you can well imagine what Craig's going through right now. Now, here's the idea that I have. It's a very simple one. I want to stay home, and I want my wife to work. Not that I don't like being on the radio, but I don't like the pressure of having to bring the check home. That's what I don't like. I could do this show 3 hours a day and then take care of the kids, scrub out the toilets. Yeah, I can do that. In fact, this is kind of a funny thing. I don't know, maybe you're the same way. Maybe this says there's something domestic about me. I don't know. I relax cleaning the kitchen up at night. I mean, when we have a party or if we've had friends over or even if it's just been a big meal, I would just as soon clean the kitchen up myself. I don't know what it is, you know. I like the idea of scrubbing crap out of pots. I like the idea of getting all the macaroni and cheese out of the big pot and rinsing all of it down the sink and turning that garbage disposal on. That's a cathartic thing. I like to get a lot of stuff crammed into the garbage disposal until really dirty, oily water rises above the garbage disposal to well within about 3 inches of the lip of the sink until it's just oily and dirty and nasty water. And then the catharsis of firing on the garbage disposal and watching all of that just getting sucked right down. The other thing that's cool, and I think you agree with me on this, Craig, is to load up the recycling bag with all the beer bottles and then throw them real hard into the bottle of the recycling bin till they all smash in there. We got this real recycle house at our house. My wife is big on that recycling, and we got a recycling can outside, but there's no recycling place inside the house, so it all piles up in one corner of the kitchen until somebody, usually me, decides to take it out. I like to clean up the kitchen. I don't mind sweeping the floor. I don't mind mopping it, and I don't mind doing any of that. Laundry I got to hang up with. Ironing I don't even know how to do. I would iron, but I still ain't figured it out. And I'm talking about 44 years as a bachelor. Well, let's not count. I left home at 17, so 44, 17, 34, 27 years. I still ain't learned how to iron a shirt. How do you do it? Do you fold? What do you do? How do you get the part? A short sleeve cotton shirt. How do you get that whole sleeve? You know how the ironing board comes to a point? Do you suck the sleeve down over that? You ought to see me trying to figure out an iron and an ironing board. Do you pull the sleeve down? And then the part, how do you iron in between the buttons? I wind up knocking buttons off. Then I can get the collar as easy, because the collar you lay flat, you just boom, 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 that's done. But how about that upper part of the upper back of the shirt with the little vent thing? How do you get that flat and neat looking? What do you mean I get a sleeve board? What's a sleeve board? And how, see? So that's the, and the other thing I don't know how to do is to fold shirts when I'm going on a trip. I know guys that can fold shirts so sweet, man, they come out, there ain't a wrinkle on them. I pull shirts out of a bag after I've been traveling, and I get to the hotel, I pull a shirt out. I might as well have wadded it up in a ball and just thrown it in. Phil gets the job at the Gap. I go to the Gap. I'm behind the counter. The people are, okay, so did you find everything you needed today, sir? Yeah, I like you this cotton shirt. All righty. And there I am, like a dumbass, trying to fold the thing up. What I wind up doing there at the Gap is I just wad it up into a ball. Okay, here you go. Boom. Now, what I would recommend ironing that before you wear it tonight. I know guys, and I'm very impressed with guys that can travel with a suit. What are you going to do? Oh, I'm taking about three suits with me. You're taking three suits? Where's your hanging bag? Well, I don't have to do that. I just fold it up neatly. How do you fold a suit up into a bag? Guy said garment bag. Okay, I can see a guy with a garment bag. You put a couple of suits in that. You can throw it over your shoulder. You look really slick. You look like something out of a Brooks Brothers ad. You just, you're like an Armani ad. You're whipping up the ramp of the airplane with your garment. But to cram suits into a suitcase... Those are the things I don't know how to do. I guess that's why, well, that's why God made wives. Because she sure, Maria used to travel when she was in college. She was a rep for her sorority. This is a wild gig she had. She actually got paid for this. She traveled around the country as the fire putter-outer for her sorority. Phi Mu Chu You, some deal. I don't know what it was. Up you. Phi Mu up yours, and she'd go from campus to campus, and she had bags and steamer trunks. I'm a guy, I can't stand traveling with too much stuff. I don't want to travel with a lot of bags. Carry on, great. When we went down to Fiji, I wanted to carry everything on, and actually I was able to achieve it because what do you take to Fiji? Bathing suits, hello? Now that I can pack. One, boom, boom, you fold it, one, two, bathing suit in. One, two, bathing suit in. T-shirt, boom, boom, T-shirt in. You go there, and what, is a guy going to really break your chops because you've got a wrinkled T-shirt on? Smoking or non-smoking? Non-smoking, yeah. Look, can I give you another T-shirt to wear, sir? This is a nice place. Fold a shirt. Boom, boom, go in. Here's the shorts. Boom, boom, go in. That's all I want to do. My wife, and I'm not saying that this is all women, you know. It's just with Maria, it's like, okay, here's a bag. With the clothes. Here's another bag. What's that? Well, these are shoes. Okay. What did we say about carrying on stuff? No. I'm going to carry stuff on, but this is just an extra bag. An extra bag for shoes. We're going to Fiji. You don't need heels. Well, just in case there's a nice dinner that they have, you got four pairs of heels in there. We're going to take a moonlight stroll down the beach. In heels? Okay, now that's, what is that? Well, that's just my makeup bag. I got to have the makeup bag. We got a separate bag for the makeup. There's the separate bag for the shoes. We got the bag with the clothes. What are you carrying on? Well, this is for our magazines. I did the best thing I could do. I went out and I got a knapsack. I got a backpack. And she was giving me crap about that up one side and down the next until we got down there and I had everything in that thing. She loved it. The knapsack, that's the way to go. That's the way I used to travel back in the day. A knapsack, a duffel bag and a knapsack, and you carry it on. Anyway, I say all of that to say there's got to be, some guys that have been able to make it work as house husbands because they found out, and I think that this is the part of the aspect of it that hasn't been said. Some men fail at business only because they're not supposed to be in business. They're supposed to be doing the domestic job, and the wife who is frustrated and who is angry and anxious and wishes there was more, she's supposed to go and do the job. And the only reason why they don't work that out is because he's hanging on to the stereotype that you're no kind of a man unless you're bringing home the paycheck. Yeah, but you're really good at ironing, man. I never seen a guy that folds shirts like, oh, thanks, it's just something I know how to do. And Jesus, cook! You're better cooked than any woman I ever met. Well, thanks. I just throw it together. Throw it together. You ought to be the guy that's here at the house with the kids. What, are you calling me a fag? I'm not calling you a fag. I'm just saying you cook better than your wife. You fold clothes better than her. You iron better. You keep a house like a freaking... This place is like an operating room in here. Well, thank you. It's just, you know, it comes naturally. Comes naturally. Why don't you be the house husband? Oh, so I'm a homosexual. No, you're not. I'm not saying that, man. I'm saying this is what you do well, and you're great with the kids. And what about her? Well, I don't know. She's got this thing with stocks. She's pretty lucky. I mean, she's made $1 million last year just day trading at home, you know, in between feeding a baby. Day trading at home? Send her out there to make the living. You know what I'm saying? I would do that. I know my wife likes working. She likes, because Maria's got a job on top of, you know, we've got four kids. She has a job. She digs her job. And if she could kind of power her way up the ladder a little bit more in the broadcast world, I'd quit tomorrow. Only problem is, I hate kids. But other than that, I clean up kitchens. But I got to get that ironing the back part of the shirt down, and then I'm solid. There might be bitches right now, we're broadcasting to some guys that are preparing dinner for their wife who's coming home from the ball peen hammer factory or wherever it is she works, right? Okay, if we have a house husband, maybe we'll just get one guy.
Hi, Phil. Listen, yeah, I really enjoy it.
Okay, well, you're not exactly what I was looking for.
Oh, you're calling me a fag, too.
No, I'm not.
Is it my voice?
Well, maybe.
Well, it's just something I was born with.
All right. You like chicks?
Oh, I love them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, I noticed from our trip to New York, Premier Radio Networks, my primary employer, they're supposed to pick up our expenses, right? Because I was looking at the thing today. They didn't pick up one nickel of our booze. Not a nickel. I expensed every tequila shot. And they didn't pay for any of it. What's going on with that? What are you telling me that you don't pick up booze? I want a meeting right now with the people that call the shots around here. Disney picks up booze. I happen to know because my good friend and engineer Craig Taylor, his girlfriend's in Tokyo right now working for the Disney Corporation. They give her a 7,000 yen daily allowance, and she's getting hammered at the train station bar on her way in. I bet they pick up Dr. Laura's booze tab. I'm joking about that, Laura, please. And I bet you that's a sizable one, too. Just kidding. See, all you got to do is say just kidding, and then all the bad stuff you said before that, people go, oh, okay. But if you don't say just kidding, then you're fired. But always say just kidding. For instance, walk up to your boss and say, I'd like to urinate all over your desk. I'm only kidding, sir. And do that with a boss you've only had for a day. That'll always work very well. Hey, Billy Bob Thornton's going out on tour with a rock band. Boy, nothing says exciting evening like an actor with his own band. Okay, let's go to Michael on the Phil Hendry Show. Michael?
Hi, how are you?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
Good, brother.
I was just listening to you about the house husband.
Yeah.
I'm a house husband.
Yeah, I bet you works great, huh?
It works. Actually, it works really good.
Nobody calls you. Nobody's called you a fag lately.
Are you kidding me? No way. Wouldn't dare. Wouldn't dare. You know what's so convenient about? Well, first of all, let me give you a tip about your ironing problem.
Yeah.
Use the back of the board. You know the big end.
The fat end.
The fat end of the board.
Right.
You take your shirt and you lay it on the fat end of the board.
Got it.
And it lays out. It lays out flatter, and you can get that crease.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, you put the collar up. I see. You're moving from the back, from the fat end up.
You put the collar on the very end of the board, and you can do the crease.
All right, now what about underwear? Do you iron that? I'm just kidding. So do you have kids?
Just kidding.
Do you got kids?
No. Like I said before, this is more convenient. About 4 or 5 years ago, I kind of got sick of this, you know, the rat race, business world, stuff like that.
Right.
I was in sales, and my wife was doing really good at work.
Yeah.
And we have four kids.
Oh, man.
We didn't have four at the time. We have four now. But she was doing really good at work.
Yeah.
And she just said, hey, look, why don't you take over this job for a little while, you know, stay at home.
Be
Beautiful.
And it's more convenient. If something breaks, she doesn't have to wait for me to come home. I'm right there to fix it.
Oh, yeah. So you're handy, too.
So, yeah.
Yep, right, I'm going to get that fat end of the board. Is that it?
Just get a hold of the fat end of the board and everything's nice.
I got it, brother. Thank you. All right. That was Jesse the Body Ventura calling in. So that was very nice of him to check in there from the governor's mansion. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Here's Todd. Hello, Todd.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Now, that's a house husband's name, Todd.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
That's a good thing.
Well, yeah, of course. I don't mind, though. My wife's got a good job with the local city, so you know she's content with it. I work in the entertainment business, so it works out perfectly.
So you're at home all the time anyway, so that's great.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're just sitting at home waiting for the calls that never come. Listen, I've been there. I know. No, I know exactly what you... So your wife is doing... She's working for the city, huh? I wonder what that other guy's wife was doing. I don't know.
Yeah,
but...
she's been over there, and she found herself a job that she enjoys, and
so is it cool? Is it great? You roll out of bed, and you can get everything done, you figure, in a couple hours, huh?
Sure. If you keep up on it.
And you're in the entertainment business.
That's correct.
All right, so there's just no market right now for puppet shows? I'd move into something else, man. No, that's good.
Well, I've been doing it for 10 years.
Hey, so let me give you a tip. You know, Todd, I got a tip for you, brother. Use the fat end of that ironing board, man.
Exactly.
You lay that shirt down.
Okay, but how do you get the burn marks out of the bottom of the pan if you burn the eggs? That's all I want to know.
You got to scrub like hell. Yeah, you got to use that Comet or something. You got to take all of that real. You know the pans you got for your wedding that were worth like $100 a pan.
Exactly.
Those Calphagon or whatever those Calphoron or Calphanon pans. Kelflon. You scrub it till all that coating is off and the pan's worth about 5 cents. But you get that. They don't burn the eggs either, man.
Well, I try not to.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye. So he has a disco business, a mobile DJ business with rubber chickens and the glasses that light up. And business is slow right now. Just forget about that you have a job. I don't have a job. I work at home. I work at home. The old lady's better at bringing home the bread. Because those days where my wife makes more money than me and all of that, that's over, brother. That's over. Now you can stay home. You can slap those rugrats, you know, jam some baby food into their kisser, stick them in front of a TV set. I like to do that menial stuff. I guess it's because, especially if you have your own house, which for years I never did. I had apartments and, you know, like I had homes that I rented and that I set fire to, and then the landlord would throw me out, and what do I care what my house? But now you like kind of vacuuming things up, the puke and everything. I have, by the way, our youngest son. We're just now training him that if you feel sick, try to throw up into a toilet. And that's going to be a wonderful thing because I'm talking to him one day. So, Chris, what do you think about a little rice-a-roni for dinner? Wag! He just leans over and lets it go, brother, right there. I said, brother, what? Toilet, Chris! Toilet, toilet, toilet! I know, but you had to bring up rice-a-roni! Was my fault? Even I can hold it till I get a toilet, till I get to some kind of a toilet, till I buy one. I'll go to the store, buy a toilet, and install it, and then throw up into it. That's how well I can hold it. And then he's walking down the hall one day, and he just leans over. Bleak. Just. So now, you know, puke is like that stomach acid. You know what that does to carpeting? There's this big, long stain. It's never going to come out. It's just never going to come out. Then what am I going to do? All right, 1-800-449-8686. So how about that Premier not picking up the booze tab? Boy, that's... And Disney's... But what does that tell you, that Disney picks up their liquor tab for their employees and Premier... I'm joking around, Craig, if you're listening, which you're probably not. But, no, seriously, of course I'm kidding, and I don't drink that much. I know the days are over. I know that all the bad days of the 70s and 80s when so many great people got burned down in this business are over. But as far as I'm concerned, it's still 1975. Thank you very much. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Check out our new CD. Check out the backstage pass information. We got 75 new clips just added to our audio archives. It's sweet. It's the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So Janice comes to me and she says, hey, what can we do with this story? Fourth graders reprimanded for lewd acts in classroom. I said, what's that, Janice? Well, listen, police are investigating allegations that five fourth grade boys performed oral sex on one another. I said, no, I don't think so. She goes, no, it's a riot. I said, no, come on. A riot? Now, she didn't say that, but you know the first thing I thought of when I heard this really bizarre story? They're fourth grade boys, and it sounds like just some outrageous, albeit socially, completely socially unacceptable, outrageous stunt of some kind. They're not even pubescent. Now, I know there's all kinds of nervous people out there that would say, check into the home lives of those kids. There might be some abuse going on, and they're acting out. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But the last thing you want to do is make them feel like maybe I'm wrong. The last thing you want to do, make them feel like freaks? That's too weird to even contemplate. I'm asking the audience to comprehend a notion that they're just right now digesting the fact that five fourth graders were giving each other oral sex, and I'm going to come on like Sherry Lewis with a lamb chop puppet and going, here's how we understand people. How do we know Tom Green didn't pay them, and he's going to have it in his next movie? Joking, Tom, if you're listening, and I know so many in Hollywood do. I got it. How about if Johnny Knoxville was filming this? I'm just worried. I'm very worried. Like this whole thing that's going on with the priests, I understand it's very serious. Yes, they should root out everyone that's guilty. I'm now beginning to worry that it's getting to a mania level and that some innocent, possibly innocent priests. Funny how those two words, don't go together too good. You know, you got to just let me take another run at that. There may be some innocent priests. Does it go down any better? I didn't think it would. But it's getting to the point now where it's getting almost manic. And remember what happened with McMartin? Hey, you know what? You may not like the McMartins. You may not think that those people are paragons of, they're not the Captain Kangaroo Award of the Year, but they didn't do anything. They didn't prove that they did anything. They were set up. They were railroaded by a crazy woman, some scumbag TV reporter, and a whole bunch of other weird people at the DA's office. And you just don't want, there's nothing worse than a mob mentality, and everybody just thinking something because it's convenient. So why don't we just go ahead and start to throw garbage on somebody's reputation? Because, frankly, it's a lot easier than saying, hey, maybe, just maybe, we're going a little too fast with some of this stuff. That's all I'm saying. And I know that people are angry, and I know they want to just take it out. They want to take it out on somebody's ass, but you really have to be careful because you just may wind up hanging somebody that doesn't deserve to be hung. I mean, doesn't deserve to be hanged. Isn't hung. Forget it. Just go watch the Oxbow incident. All right, 1-800-449. I ain't telling you what it is. It's a movie. Rent it and watch it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Well, we had a couple of gutsy house husbands call in and give me ironing tips and the fact that they were sucking it up at work. Guy was a salesman. You know, being in sales is probably one of your tip-offs because it seems to be a de facto job for a lot of guys. Well, I'll go into sales. It's the hardest job in the world to have. The hardest job in the world to be successful at. You don't just fall into the sales business. You'll get eaten alive if you don't know what you're doing. So if you're feeling uncomfortable being in sales, I say you start ironing shirts. The next step is ironing shirts. All right, so what I was going to mention to you, Billy Bob Thornton, who co-stars with Halle Berry in Monsters Ball, he's going to go on an 8-city concert tour May 17th. I remember going to concerts and feeling like you were actually a participant in the show. It's a feeling I want to give back to the audience, Thornton said. Unfortunately, I don't think I'll be successful since my band sucks. He went on to say, his debut Lost Highway Records album Private Radio was released 6 months ago to no particular fanfare. So far, no one has bought a copy, but he's hoping this tour will change things. These songs are incredibly personal to me, and that's why they're generally boring to the rest of us. No, he didn't say that. He's just talking about having a band. So Billy Bob Thornton has a band. Bruce Willis had a band. Who else? Oh, Russell Crowe has got this band, doesn't he? I keep hearing about this band he's got. What is it called? 30-odd foot of grunt. What's it? What is it, Janice? 30-odd foot of grunt. Oh, quit it. Just call yourselves the Beatles or something. Just the a-holes. You know, what's 30-odd foot of grunt mean? I'm an American. I don't speak no down under. Keanu Reeves had a band called Dog Star. Now, I get that. Dog and a star. He's a dog of a star. He's a star, but he ought to be a, he's a dog. I don't know. The band sounds like a dog barking. Then there was Dennis Quaid had a band. I don't know what that was. Kevin Bacon had a band. Bruce Willis had a band. It's a wonderful thing to be famous, and it's another wonderful thing to get your jollies having a band. But just go out, play a couple of bars. Don't keep telling me the 30-odd foot of grunt is going to be opening for Hole, or they're going to be at the Roxy, and you know it'll be part of the whole Uriah Heep Festival. Come on out and see Russell Crowe. It's a freak show, man. That's all it is. Are any of these bands any good? Have you heard of any of them? Have you heard any of their music? Do any of them get Keanu Reeves' band you've heard? Does it get any airplay? Is it selling? Is it just another reason for me to hate movie stars? Oh, okay, it is. Thanks. I was wondering. Just do your acting thing. Kevin Bacon's band, I understand, was pretty cool. You might have heard of it. Bay City Rollers. They were great. But then he got into acting, so... No, actually, Bruce Willis's band was Frankie Goes to Hollywood. They had a kind of a gay thing going, but I thought that, by and large, it was the... Do you remember Frankie Goes to Hollywood? Oh, it was a great band. Out front was Bruce Willis on that thing. Relax, just do it. And then he decided, now that ain't working. Let me try something different. How about television? And then we had another guy. Now, let's see. What was Quaid's band called? How about Sharks? Now, that's a good name for a band. Sounds like a car club. The Sharks, the Eagles, the Garbage Men, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Beat Farmers, the Nirvanas. The Pearl Jams and the Led Zeppelins. Those are good bands. You start giving me that 30-odd foot of grunt, I'm going to start, you know, I'll be getting violent here. A couple of more drinks, and I'm going to start swinging. Just because your band's name is odd. What do you call yourselves, man? Yeah, we're called Colonel Beavis. And what do you mean, Colonel Beavis? What does that mean? Oh, it's, I don't know, something I pulled out of a book. Remember when they were naming their bands after great works, great literary works? Steppenwolf? Didn't they have a band called Dr. Zhivago or something? They would name, yeah, they got into a whole thing there for a while. They're naming bands after literature. Dr. Zeus. Yeah. Dr. Spock's 30 Ways to Bring Up Kids, the long name. They couldn't get it on the album. Sucked. That sucked. Then they had another book, I think it was called The Fear of Flying. Jesus. Movie stars with rock bands. I guess the only thing those guys can play are those charity gigs. They're trying to raise bread to get somebody out of jail or get somebody elected or something. And, you know, hi, I'm Barbara Streisand. We're going to try to get the member of the Communist Party of America, Gus Hall, elected to a dog catcher here in Thousand Oaks. And, by the way, 30-odd foot of grunt will be opening the fundraiser. So that'll be fun. And then the other thing we had to do when I was in Minneapolis, we opened up a Planet Hollywood. Now, in Minneapolis, the biggest thing to ever happen there was the Planet Hollywood opening. They had a red carpet, and they had Melanie Griffith, and they had all the people, all the principals that were involved in that enterprise. And Bruce Willis's band played. And you would, if the joint just cleared out, I mean, that's when everybody went and got burgers and started looking at all the guitars while Willis's band played. Because even if it's Bruce Willis, if the music's bad, it's bad. You're going to stand around and what are you going to do? Watch him play harmonica? With a baseball cap on? So there you go. What we do, we just trashed. Well, look at Billy Bob. You got a great career, man. I happen to know you're in movies because I saw you in a magazine the other day wearing a beret. So I know you're in the movies. You don't need to do a freaking rock band. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we got the news here. Milton Berle, Milton Berle, the acerbic cigar-smoking vaudevillian who eagerly embraced a new medium and became Mr. Television in the dawn of the video age, died today. According to a spokesman, he was 93. Berle died at 2:45 in the afternoon at his home after a lengthy illness here in Los Angeles. His wife, Lorna, and several family members were at his side. He had been under hospice care for the past few weeks. He'd been diagnosed with colon cancer last year. According to publicist Warren Cowan, he was responsible for the television set in your home today. He put television on the map. Milton Berle is gone, 93 years of age. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Now, from yesterday's show, I believe we had Jay Santos. Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police was on to talk with us about the fact that he doesn't think parents should be buying toys for their kids at Easter time. Stick with the candy, and he and the Citizens Auxiliary Police guys are going to enforce that.
Phil Hendry, flashback.
I can't believe how ridiculous you're making this sound, and if this is actually true...
Man, Sam, I'm talking about Easter time as a time that you traditionally give a child candy.
No, you know what? You're right. I agree with that to
Thank
a certain
you.
Extent. Easter's
Thank
Easter.
Thank
candy,
you.
A couple egg hunts, and things of that nature. But
Absolutely.
You have no right telling people what they can and what they can't buy for Easter.
I'm simply suggesting I'm taking a peek in their bag. Everything's all right. They can move along.
You know what? If this is real,
like
I'd love to sit down with you face to face and just laugh at you, because this is just ridiculous. I can't believe that you would actually
tell people this is
how you feel.
What is ridiculous about trying to keep Easter just in time for milk chocolate?
No, you're right. I agree. You're okay.
Well,
you're
then
not
then
just
why?
Trying to keep it. You're actually telling people what they can and cannot buy. That's none of your business what I buy.
Look, we are not going. We are not allowed to have parents taking toys. The citizens are. Major Elvis Newton told me to, so I'm just carrying out his orders.
Who did this?
That is the commander of...
What is his name?
Major, told you to do this?
Major Elvis Newton.
Well, I'll tell you
well,
what,
you can laugh
I just got to laugh, and whoever else is listening to this, if
well,
you actually
you can
believe
laugh
this,
you can
they're
laugh.
All as nuts as you are.
You can
laugh there's no
you
way you're actually doing this.
Well, you bit a woman, and she wants you to get AIDS tested. That's real enough.
I'm not taking an AIDS test. I'll bend over, I'll spread my cheeks, I'll show anybody my butt, but I'm not going to...
Mr. Henry.
Yes.
Hey, this guy...
Is this guy out of his freaking mind, or what?
If he was any half-decent professional of a man...
I happen to be a volunteer police officer protecting our citizens. I take a peek over the shoulder of the police. You can laugh, sir, but you won't be laughing.
Hey, I got to hang up with you
okay.
guys, but I'll tell you
let me ask you a question, John. Would
I
you
enjoy
be laughing?
Listening to your show.
Well, would
keep
you
up the good work.
Hey, John,
but
would you be laughing if I bit you?
Tell him to get a life.
Would you be laughing if I bit you?
What was that?
Would you be laughing if I bit you?
I'd be laughing when I picked your ass up off the ground after I got done beating the hell out of you, because there's no way you're biting me.
Tell you what, I bite you and bend your finger back, you would not be able to respond.
Bite him and bend the finger back.
I heard that.
I
can't even believe that you waste your time talking like this. Like, you have nothing else better
so
to do
words,
in your life than sit here and say this.
Say what? That I want to maintain the tradition of Easter?
Yeah, that you're going to stand by the malls and check our bags as we walk out, and if we don't have what you like, you're going to bite us and I'm beginning to think you are gay, wanting to bite me and stuff.
I think that's a very serious charge. Okay.
What, you being gay or me calling you gay?
You calling me gay.
Yes, you're gay.
You can take a look at my... He can take a look at my puckered butt.
Okay.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
That's Jay Santos. That voice of Jay Santos done by me and the guy that called in. He had his suspicions that Jay was a phony baloney, but he didn't know it was me doing the voice. By the way, this addendum to the death of Milton Berle, as you know, we mentioned he died. We have now received news that Milton Berle's penis has also died. And so, I guess, never mind. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the Phil Hendry Show. So what do you think about that, huh? Billy Bob Thornton going out on tour, man. What do you think's worse, Milton Berle dying or Billy Bob Thornton forming a band? I got to tell you, Uncle Milty... I don't remember ever watching him on TV on that show that he did, that Texaco Star Theater, but I do recall seeing him on other things, and he was a very funny guy. And it was actually funny when he dressed up like a woman. You see a lot of guys dress up like women, Monty Python, you name it, but Milton Berle was a riot. But I think It's tragic that he's dead and Billy Bob Thornton's got a band. I don't know which is worth. All right, New Jersey has released a controversial racial speeding study. A New Jersey study suggesting black drivers speed more than other drivers was released this week, despite federal government concerns about its accuracy. Although no one at the federal government is surprised, considering the fact that New Jersey is notorious for its racism and racist cops. A study found that New Jersey cops love to hassle African-American motorists more than white... the study found African-American motorists are more likely than white drivers to exceed the 65-mile-per-hour speed limit on the southern end of the New Jersey Turnpike, especially after the cops there dummy up their reports. Especially after the cops there turn in their very truthful reports. On a more urban stretch of the Turnpike, where the speed limit is 55... no difference was found, the reporter said. Yeah, sure. You know, New Jersey is kind of an interesting place. They had, during World War II, I think one of the largest chapters of the German-American Bund. They, like, had this really active Nazi party in Germany, or in New Jersey, during World War II. And you want to get a little of another thing? This is kind of an interesting thing. You know the Lindbergh kidnapping? Lindbergh's baby got kidnapped. The head of the New Jersey State Police was a guy by the name of Schwarzkopf. That's right, the father of the Gulf War general. And this guy apparently was a real piece of work. He didn't like immigrants. He didn't like Jews. He didn't like anybody. But he did like his little baby Normie Schwarzkopf that went off to kick ass on Iraq. New Jersey's beautiful. The release of the study came Monday despite concerns by the Justice Department that it was a load of crap. Might not be right. A spokesman with the Justice Department did not return a telephone message by the AP. A 1998 shooting of four minority men by troopers on the New Jersey Turnpike inflamed accusations that state police targeted minority motorists. I don't know why they'd think that. They pulled them over, pulled out their guns, and shot them. That's normal, isn't it? All right, pull it over. All right. Take that. Bang! Okay. What are you doing? He's black. I shot him. A year later, state officials reported that troopers practiced racial profiling and agreed to reforms, including monitoring the race of motorists stopped by troopers to avoid a Justice Department lawsuit. The study conducted last spring and summer by the Public Services Research Institute was aimed solely at describing the racial and ethnic distribution of speeders and non-speeders on the Turnpike. Speeding was defined as exceeding the speed limit by only 15 miles an hour. Ours is simply a survey of speeding, although if you're black, you're exceeding the speed limit if you go 1 mile an hour over it. So, you see, more black people drive 56 miles an hour than whites who go 80 miles an hour. So, that's proof positive that them blacks are out there running those freaking speed limits, and something's got to be done. All right, don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, and our new CD, Bring It, is available at 877-616-7445. Get your backstage pass. We got new material being added every single day to our website.